What did we read today? Sheila read the Romans, said to be holy, right? To be set apart, set yourselves apart. That's what it says in the bulletin, too. I wrote that in there. This whole Passover season is a seven-day-long process. It's not just Passover. It's the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And so for 7 days, you're supposed to eat unleavened bread, matzah, we call it, right? And then on the first day, you have to get rid of all the leaven from your house. Kick it out. And for 7 days, no leaven can be found in your homes, according to Exodus 12:19. And in Exodus 13:7 says, unleavened bread is to be eaten the 7 days, and whatever is leaven is not to be seen with you, and leaven is not to be seen with you within all of your border. So by these verses and others, God requires that we remove the leaven from our homes and even all the way out to our borders prior to Passover, and not bring back any in until after the 7 days of unleavened bread are completed. So during this time, we're not to eat anything that is leavened. The word for leavened is chametz. Everybody, chametz. So what does this mean to us? It means that in preparation for Passover, we're to search all of our dwelling places, even to the borders, to get the leaven out. Traditionally, the evening before Passover, Jewish families, they make a game out of the search for leaven. With the children looking everywhere in the house, they have a candle, a wooden spoon, a feather, and the father usually goes into dark places with the candle lit, burns half the house down, looking for leaven, and when he finds some, he sweeps it with the feather onto the wooden spoon, puts it in a paper bag, they take it outside the camp, outside of the house, and they burn it. Because you don't want your leaven coming back for 7 days. So what is leaven? Biblically, it seems to be specifically yeast. That which ferments or sours something else. And as we are commanded to specifically eat unleavened bread during this time, leaven would seem to speak to that which leavens bread or bread products. Again, that would be yeast, right? Traditionally, not only bread or other products made with yeast are considered leaven, but any grain items that rise or expand when mixed with water, and this is just tradition, you could include wheat, rye, barley, oats, and spelt that comes in contact with water for more than 18 minutes. And that would be considered chametz. There is even a special matzah that is kosher for Passover. Even the matzah you buy in your supermarket, you have to read the box because some of it is not kosher for Passover. Because it is guarded all the way from harvesting to packaging to make sure it doesn't get wet prematurely and is placed in the oven within 18 minutes of the dough being mixed. And just in any case, there's any wild, free-floating yeast spores found their way into the flour, you got to get them out of there. You got to make sure that the whole process is right for Passover. Ashkenazic Jews like me, even consider rice, corn, peanuts, and any other vegetables in the pea family as chametz, as these items are often ground into flour and they're made into bread. Pasta, although not made with yeast, is traditionally considered chametz. And that kills all the spaghetti and stuff like that. During the days of unleavened bread, matzah meal is used in all the recipes normally requiring flour or bread products. We have matzah meal we use for everything we cook, right? This is already cooked matzah, but it's in a broken up or powdered form. Again, the biblical commandment seems to be specifically only against yeast. Or it could be argued baking powder or any other outside agent that is introduced to food to make it rise. But you can decide if it means more. Some of you get really carried away with this, and it's fun to listen to some of you. But, you know, even with all that, God is just trying to teach us a very valuable spiritual lesson in this commandment. He doesn't want to see how many food products you can come up with, to see that you got to kick out of your house. He doesn't want you to empty your cupboards. He's trying to teach you something spiritual. 1 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8 says that a little leaven, and in the New Testament, leaven is called sin, S-I-N, leavens the whole lump. So if you have just a little sin in there, it's going to ruin everything. And therefore, we should keep the Passover. Please note that Rabbi Paul just told us to keep the Passover. That means you should be there in 2 weeks. Rabbi Paul told you, the guy who did away with all that, just told you, you should keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice or wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. By commanding us to search out the leaven, God wants to teach us about searching out and purging sin from our lives. It is not sin an outside agent that is introduced in order to ferment or sour that which is pure? Isn't that what's going on? In earlier generations, they did not have anywhere near as many food products as we have today. Neither did they have sin coming into their lives in so many different shiny packages. You get sin from everywhere these days. Search through your cabinets, look through your refrigerators, and look at all the labels and get the homicides. It's the products you wouldn't even think about. But if you stop there, you miss the whole point. You can have an empty kitchen, but you've missed the boat. When you are finished keeping this commandment in the physical, you got to up it to the spiritual. Yeah, search your heart. Check it out completely in order to find and remove all the sin from your life. When you do so and you recognize that all that sin that snuck in, or let's face it, you might have brought it in, right? Since the last cleaning, repent, turn from. That's what repent means. Turn from of it, repent of it, and ask for forgiveness from God in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. Then you'll be considered clean. Hey, amen. To keep the Passover, the Seder meal. That's what we call spring cleaning. You have a right relationship with God. He started a whole new year last week, didn't he? Brand new year, let's start it clean, huh? Why are we going to start off in a sinful way? Hey, where are we? Yeah, then you will be considered clean to keep the Passover, the Seder meal, and to have a right relationship with God through the Lamb of Elohim who takes away the sin of the world. And though we are permitted again to eat unleavened bread after 7 days, you still have an option to bring chametz back into your house. You don't have to bring it back and within your borders. It doesn't mean you have to. Just because 7 days are up, I can go sin again. Because certainly, on a spiritual level, God would hope that the purging of your sins in life is longer than a 7-day period. Thank you for that. Say that again. I heard that loud. The day after Passover meal begins the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The first day, the 15th of Aviv, and the seventh day, the 21st, are considered God-commanded Sabbaths, Shabbats, and no work is to be done. The in-between days are not a Sabbath, and work is to be done, but we continue to keep lachametz out of our lives and out of our mouths. And beginning with the evening of the 14th day of the first month and continuing till the evening of the 21st day, we are to remember the exodus of our people from Egypt by the almighty hand of God by eating only unleavened bread and no chametz. If we don't, Scripture warns in Exodus 12:15 that the soul that does that shall be cut off from Israel. And even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Verse 19. Truly, our redemption is through our Messiah, who is our Passover. 1 Corinthians 5:7. But like with all the other Moedim and set appoint times throughout the Torah, God gives us instructions to carry out certain actions regularly so that we would be continually reminded on a yearly basis or even a weekly basis by Shabbat how wonderful it is that he delivered us. Every Passover, by physically following God's specific commandments regarding leaven, he teaches us the spiritual lessons of searching out and purging sin from our lives. Because getting ourselves free from the bondage of sin is truly the meaning of deliverance. So now that you've done something that most of the world doesn't, that is, separate Passover and unleavened bread into separate commanded set apart times of God, now that we won't call this time of the year the 8 days of Passover anymore, we can look deeper at what God is trying to teach us. Of course, Passover signifies our deliverance, right? God commands us to keep the Passover, to remember and teach our children that we were once slaves and now we are free. Free to be you and me. Yeah. As believers, we know that Yeshua is our Passover. And it was by his sacrificial atonement that death passes us by. But what about unleavened bread? Consider this. Passover is just an event, from killing the lamb to eating it. But unleavened bread is an entire 7-day period. Torah has no exclamation points, no bold type or italics. When God wants to make a strong point, what does he do? He uses repetition. While worldly or Greek thinking would consider yearly holidays like Passover or Yom Kippur more hallowed because of their rareness than the weekly Shabbat, the Hebraic mind sees that when God has us to do something every week, it is more important. 52 times more important, as a matter of fact, one could say, than something we're to do once a year. Similarly, according to Isaiah 6:3, the seraphim cry out, Kadosh, 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 Adonai Tzevaot, Melokal Haoretz, holy, holy, holy. They repeat it 3 times, emphasizing how set apart God truly is. Look up scripture passages that discuss God's instructions regarding unleavened bread and see how many times he tells us to get and keep the leaven out. It seems a clear and simple instruction, one that is easily understood on first reading, and yet God delivers it again and again. Let me just read off the verses. Don't even bother to write them down. I'm going to read them fast in my Brooklyn accent. Exodus, Shemot, 12, 8, 15, 17 through 18, 20, 39, 13, 6 through 7, 23, 15, 34, 18, Leviticus 23, 6, Bamidbar 28, 17, Devarim 16, 3, 8, and 16. Woo! How many times does God need to tell you something? That there is a season that we should call the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And explain that we are not to eat, guess what? Any leavened bread. that during that feast, which, by the way, just in case you weren't paying attention to what I said, is called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Think this is important to God? I think so. Why? Well, there's a very interesting fact about yeast. Yeast, Y-E-A-S-T. You need yeast to make yeast. You can't make no yeast if you don't have no yeast to begin with. In order to have yeast to make bread dough, you must retain a lump of raw dough with the yeast in it. You can't go out and buy new yeast. There is none. When you make up some new dough, you take a piece of dough with the yeast in it and you add it to the new. As we know, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. You don't need to add much to your new dough to get it to leaven, but you do need some. Without retaining this lump of dough to culture your leaven in, you have no leaven to leaven any new dough. So you're probably asking where I'm going with this. Thank you for asking. When you clear all the leaven out of your homes and borders, remember I said borders too, as God commands we do, how can you ever make leavened bread again if you don't have any leaven? Man, it's impossible unless you go to some other source who has retained leaven in his or her lump and get some from them. Hey, you got any leaven, buddy? Remember, God requires us to get rid of our leaven and keep it out of the house for 7 days. Right? Now we got to bake some more leaven. What are we going to do? But when the 7 days are over and we are, it seems, or is this just an assumption, permitted to once again bring the leaven back in. Let's bring it in. We are not commanded to do so. He doesn't tell you to do that. Think about it. If Israel really had to clear all of the leaven and keep it out for 7 days, that means they were required to leave Egypt without any leaven. They took everything else they could find, but they didn't leave with any leaven, did they? The yeast is still on the shelf at Cairo supermarket. And it's the only thing on the shelf. Everything else is gone. But yeast still there. In the aisle 23, right? If this was practiced by everyone, where did they get the leaven out there in the desert? After the 7 days were up, was there a little yeast stand by Mount Sinai? Hey, get your cold yeast here. Get your cold yeast here. Step right up, 3 3/4. If Israel truly kept God's command, then they would have been free from leaven throughout their entire 40-year desert journey. And since they were to take no spoils from any of the nations that they conquered when taking their land, they would not have been able to acquire any leaven from them also. So here they are into the promised land. They still don't have no leaven. Israel would have been leaven-free. As a people, hey, we're leaven free. Well, gee, top that. But let's face it, God knew better. He knew they weren't going to put up with that. He knows we would seek out leaven and we would bring it back into our homes at the minute we're allowed to, because that's what we are. Leavenators. That's why he has a perpetual commandment, so that we have to clean it back out every year. All right, you guys have done this for the other 358 days of the year. Let's get rid of it again for 7 days. Man, God is good at that. The only verses I can find which counter this theory of a possible leaven-free Israel are Leviticus 7:13 and 23:17 and 18, where leavened bread is used, respectively, as a peace offering and for Shavuot, which is the early harvest first fruits offering. According to Leviticus 23:18, these loaves are to be burnt in a fire with the meat and drink offerings. And so those verses make it clear, though, that we are commanded to never burn on the altar any grain offerings to God that include leaven. Leavened bread is used in these two occasions. Every other place, the bread is either unleavened or unspecified. But leaven is not allowed on the holy altar, presumably because it would defile it, allowing the impure to come in contact with the pure. Amos 4:5 hits it home when the prophet states, while speaking of Israel's sinful lifestyle, that they offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven. Well, let's get back to what we were saying. Leaven is one thing, but certainly its spiritual equivalent, we call it sin, is another thing that God wants us to remove from our lives. And guess what? He wants you to remove it permanently. And what does permanently mean? Forever. Most of us have understood for a long time that Israel was to have left its sin behind in Egypt. Of course, they weren't supposed to bring it with them. It was supposed to be there on aisle 23 with the east. To escape the bondage of that worldly pagan culture and venture into the wilderness to worship God and eventually establish their own free nation with the Torah as their constitution. That's why iPods weren't invented then. You couldn't take your music with you. You had to leave it behind in Egypt. But I hope through this teaching and the confirmation of the Ruach HaKodesh that you can see a deeper and more complete picture of how sin comes in and affects your life. When we completely remove ourselves from sinful thoughts and actions, man, you ever try that? The only way to get them to return in our lives is to come back into contact with people or places where the sin is active. Where would that be around here? Everywhere. Outside the door, maybe even in here. Just as yeast only comes from another yeast, guess what? Sin only comes from another sin. Can't create new sin. And as with the yeast, it doesn't take much to leaven your whole previously pure lump, but it does take some. So we must put ourselves back into unholy places, into situations, or have conversations with the wrong people to get that sin back and get it active and growing in our lives. How often have you been able to keep your thought life clean until you come into contact with a gossipy or contentious person? Oh, I'm doing good today. I haven't really sinned or nothing, but oh, here comes X. I don't want to talk to X. Oh, no, I'm done now. Or maybe you have a vice beaten until you see one of those magazines behind the convenience store counter. Or drive by a Budweiser billboard, King of Beers. Or happen to be at a gathering where some people are partaking of that stuff. Everything was going fine, but you just happened to put yourself in a place, either accidentally or more often purposely, where there was leaven. And now, it's in your lump. You got the lump. Man, you got the lump. Maybe you thought a little leaven shouldn't leaven your lump. But guess what? That just means you have forsaken the Word of God. Do you not know? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Just a smidgen of sin leavens your whole lump. So why 7 days of unleavened bread? Well, consider this. Passover is an event. And we're going to do it in an evening, right? From 5 to 9. The lamb dies. The blood is applied to our doorposts. We partake of this sacrifice. And we are spared from the plague of death. Good thing. Yeah, especially for a firstborn. And so it is with our deliverance through Yeshua, the Lamb of Elohim, our justification, just as if we never sinned. The first stage of our walk with Yeshua is a one-time event. Not going to happen again. It's one time. Good deal. We recognize that His sacrificial blood was shed for us as our only way to escape death. We apply it to our doorposts, and we are saved. Whoopee! But then what? Well, then we have to live our lives in Him. Until the time when our days with these mortal bodies is finished. Do you know when your mortal days are finished? No, you don't. So you have to live each day as it might be your last. Don Johnson certainly didn't know Wednesday was his last. But he lived it. The third step in our relationship with Messiah is glorification. But that doesn't happen until the resurrection, when we receive immortal souls and rule in His kingdom. So what happens in between? There is an entire span of life at what we call being a believer and a follower of Yeshua. It is the period we call sanctification. And it is during this time that through the instruction of Torah, and that's from Genesis all the way to Revelation, that's called Torah. And by the power of the inner workings of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, that we become more and more set apart unto God, more and more like Yeshua. Doesn't happen all at once. And so we just see this picture of our relationship with Yeshua in the seven-day feast of unleavened bread. According to Exodus 12:18, we are to begin eating only unleavened bread from the moment we sit down to partake of the Passover. This speaks of God's expectation that from the very moment we accept Yeshua, He expects us to no longer partake of leaven. No more sin in your life. Traditionally, leaven is removed 24 hours or more prior to eating the Passover. And I would say it is pretty prudent to do that. But it is not biblical. God requires us to have the leaven out by the time we sit down to eat the Passover, not before. Considering the fact that due to the cooking time required to roast the lamb, the sacrifice is killed and its blood applied to the doorpost at least a couple hours before we're required to get the leaven out. Certainly, in a slave simple household, all the leaven could be cleaned out while the lamb is cooking, right? But what's the point? It's this. God does not expect us to lead a completely sinless life before this lamb is slain and its blood applied to our doorpost, but He does so immediately thereafter. Without Yeshua, God knows that we don't have the means or the power to get all the leaven out. But once the Lamb of God and the Ruach are allowed into our lives to do the job, God expects our life to be radically transformed. We are now to live as a pure lump. So why 7 days? Not only that, but why the first and seventh are considered Sabbaths? Well, seven is the number of completeness, full cycle. 7 days of creation, 7 day week. The week of years whereby land is allowed to rest every seventh year, Shemitah. The 7,000 years ordained for our world, completed by the millennial reign of Yeshua. Seven speaks of completion, perfection. So also does seven speak of the completed period of time of our redeemed lives. So from our point of salvation, justification, to our complete completion, perfection, or glorification can be seen as a whole week. A week of redemption. During the entire period, we are expected to live an unleavened life, an existence free from the bondage of corruption and sin. On the first day after our salvation, we have a Shabbat. Yay. And isn't the honeymoon period of our early salvation just that? Yeah? After years of bondage and sin to this world, we are finally free. Wow. Sure, it's an uncharted wilderness, but to be resting in God is so refreshing. You don't have a care in the world. You're happy. And after all, the first day of having to eat only matzah, well, it ain't so bad. It's good stuff, you know? In fact, you wonder, why don't I eat it the rest of the year? It's so good. I love this matzah. But then you enter this interim period during the week. Oh, you're still required to to continue the sanctification process and keep the leaven out, but it's no longer a Shabbat. You have to go to work. For 5 long days, you must labor. But it is still the time of unleavened bread. You're driving around in town, going to work, carrying your little matzo sandwich with you. And they're all getting down there at Big Mac Town, driving through the drive-thru. Yeah, could I have a matzo burger to go? Hold the fries. Hold the fries. They said special orders don't upset us. And let's face it, eating only matzah as your bread, well, it can get old real quick. Man, does that stuff get old right away, doesn't it? It's not too long into day 2 or 3 that the term that they use in Deuteronomy 16:3 comes true. It's called the bread of affliction. Oh, I'm afflicted. As you drive through the drive-thru. Forget about the matzah. Let's just take some of that sesame seed bun. Oh, yeah, it's got to be better. It takes on a very personal meaning to know about the bread of affliction. It is easy to now forget how bad Egypt was. Oh, man, your wilderness is beginning to look pretty bleak. And you want to go back to the leeks and the garlic and the sesame seed buns. But hey, just a question. But did any of you people happen to bring some yeast with you when we left Ramses? You got some yeast in your little cart? Because I figure if we mix yeast in with some of this manna, yeah, see, this flat bread is getting tiresome, but a bagel on a nice challah bread, man, no one brought any leaven? How come? What's wrong with you people? Man, you're not my friends. Yeah, I remember Moshe told us not to, but who would listen to him? I just figured, well, we got plenty of money. We got tons of money when we left. Maybe some Bedouin traders will come by, huh? And let me know if you see any, okay? Keep your eyes open. And so it goes on. We forget where we came from, and we forget where we're supposed to go. That's where we're at right now. And somewhere in the middle of the week, we seek out leaven, just a little. Man, if I could just sip a beer. Oh, let me just peek at that thing there, that magazine. Oh. Just a little, and it leavens our whole lump. When I drank, we used to talk about trains, and people would say, you know, the freight train would run you over and kill you. But it's not the caboose that kills you. It's the engine in the front of the train. It's the first car. The rest of it doesn't matter. You could have a 200-car freight train run you over, but only the engine is going to kill you. So if you take that first drink, it's going to kill you. A little leaven, that's what they said in AA. It's the same thing I'm telling you right now. Just take it, a little sin, and it will kill you. Oh, let's see. And that 11-day journey from Sukkot to the Jordan River, well, it's going to take 40 years now. If we're lucky, that is, for many will die in the wilderness due to lack of belief. But if we can hold on through this week, just a few more days to the end of the sanctification process you're in right now, just hold on, guys. Another Shabbat is going to await you. Man, and it will be the 7th day of the feast, the return of Yeshua, and the millennial reign, and it will be glorious. I want you all to be there with me. God never promised us that walking with Yeshua would be like skipping down the yellow brick road. He promised us that we would trudge the road of happy destiny. In fact, we're guaranteed that. Ain't nothing good's going to happen to you because you believe in Yeshua in a material way. But what he does promise is that we will get through this week as free men and women. And when we get to the seventh day, we will understand that it was all worth it. Thank you. Hear that again. Not only can life be lived without leaven when you have the blood of Yeshua and the power of the Ruach, but a leaven-free life is pure and healthy and pleasing to the Father, which causes us to be blessed beyond all the peoples, Deuteronomy 28, and enables you to truly present yourself to the Father as a spotless bride for His Son, which will be the ultimate pleasure. But alas, we are humans. And guess what, folks? Your flesh dies hard. Although Yeshua requires us to get rid of the leaven, He shows us by grace, by requiring us to try again, year after year, Passover after Passover, lovingly and patiently guiding us through the sanctification process once again. Oh, that we would permanently leave behind more sin than we did last year. We leave a bigger lump this year. This year, He wants us to find our ultimate satisfaction in Him and not desire to leave camp looking for someone with a little leaven to spare. And this process is a perpetual one. One from the time of our Passover over justification until our seventh day glorification, when we die or Messiah comes back as we labor through these interim days of sanctification from. Let us keep our minds remembering that God delivered us from bondage, press forward to the mark of our high calling, Philippians 3:1, and expectantly pray a slight modification of the prayer that our people have cried out joyfully in this season for thousands of years. Lashana haba'a b'Yerushalayim, next year in Jerusalem, in the new Jerusalem. Amen.